Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Rocky, and I want to thank you for listening to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown Show on the best AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network. The best sports karate interviews, special announcements, and special surprises each week on this Tuesday night. Professor Gary Lee has a knockout punch every week for your enjoyment. Supporting the Sports Karate Museum Archives and the history in America. It ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit to keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yo, Professor Gary Lee, great job.
Yo, this program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee from the Sport Karate Museum, and we want to thank you, seriously, for allowing us to come into your home on a Tuesday night, golly bum, for the last 10 years. And I really appreciate it so much. And we have some great interviews with you with the upcoming year coming up. And, of course, tonight I get to feature the 4+1. And that's exciting. But before I do that, I want to bring on my producer, the man that actually has put us on the air for over 10 years, going on 10 years, Auntie Jesse Bowen. Are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about having an anniversary with you, and also congratulations on your nomination to the London Butler Hall of Fame. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
now,
that.
What do you got going on? I know you're doing something with my friend Alan Goldberg, who will be on the first of the year, but tell us what you're doing with him and the women's event like we're doing in October for Karen Eva Herdman. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, we got a lot going on. I just want to give you some numbers before we crank up. The numbers are we've had 761 shows on the network, and we've had 15,005 people that have actually clicked the play button. So between Karen, things you're doing, I'm doing, so we've had a lot of people listening to the show, and we want them to continue to do that, you know, that we're can get the show now on Apple Podcasts. And so it's all over the place. So the access ability to do the show is really out there. So commitment to you for promoting and helping us get those numbers there. But, yeah, coming up in January, we're really excited. We're doing the first Ladies Hall of Honors, and that's in conjunction with Cecil Goldberg in New Jersey. So that's going to be really great. We're going to be doing a biography book. We're partnering with the Cancer Society, American Cancer Society. So we really want to go and make a difference. We want to highlight the women in the martial arts. Who are they? Many of them, of course, are no longer competing or teaching, so but they've already left a legacy. So we're trying to go back and bring that legacy back before it all slips away. And who are those people? Where are they now? Telling their experience. So we're really excited about it. So that's going to be coming up in January. And we also have our second book project that we're doing, and it's titled Elite Martial Artists in America. So that's going to be coming out. That's going to be going really well. And also don't forget to check out our podcast. Our podcast is Become an Author. So, you know, people are sitting on a gold mine of information and knowledge about their lives or the things that they have become proficient in that other people would like to know. So check out our podcast and learn how you can become an author.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that information. And, you know, I'm excited about what's going on with the Sport Karate Museum and what we're doing with the AMAA Network and everybody involved. And thank you so much for allowing us to do this with you, Jesse Bowen. and allowing the Sport Karate Museum to be a big part of it. We want to thank you. We thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, okay, I'm sorry, Jesse. I really do want to thank you, though. I want to make that really clear to everybody who listens that we couldn't be here. We couldn't be on the air and share the history of Sport Karate without you. And we want to say thank you so much, sir. We really do mean that.
Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is my producer, Jesse Bowen, from the Week Publication. And he is the person that actually takes the time every week to put us on the air with you and put the amazing people that I put together for this particular show. Now, tonight, my student, Mr. Dean Powell, he's under the weather, so he won't be on the air. So AJ has to take over his position tonight. But that's what I'm going to introduce right now. Co-hosts I use weekly. And what is my student, by way of Mr. Joe Lewis, who passed away, and he gave me the permission to adopt him. So he's been my student now for almost 10 years. So he's under the weather tonight. And, you know, this is actually, I think, the first show that he's missed in quite a few years. But wish him the best. I hope he gets back to us with 100% health. The other gentleman, his lovely wife tonight, has a birthday, and he has to take her out to dinner. He didn't have to, but he's doing it. And we're going to miss him tonight. That's Mr. James Moore, part of the 4+1. But, you know, I've got something exciting to share with you. We have a new page on our official web page of the Sport Karate Museum. And what we'll do, it will introduce the upcoming event. Now, this weekend, November 5th, in Houston, Texas, there's going to be the Texas Cup NASCAR Tournament. It is the only 5-star rated event by the Sport Karate Museum. Now, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and you can see the page. Plus, look at all the other cool things that my history general, Professor Thomas Feldman, has done and just doing an incredible job. And I'm so excited about tonight because every first of the month, and we've done it now for quite a few months, first of the month, I feature my group that I put together from all across America. And I get to introduce them individually, each one. And then we talk about a question or topic that we choose, and they give their opinions. Now, I've been doing this almost 30 years, and I met a lot of friends, and probably could have chose any lady I wanted in sport karate, but I decided on one, and she's an A3 black belt. She comes from the lineage of Shorin Karate. She trains in Kung Fu. She's a PKL former champion when the PKL was alive. She's from New Jersey, by way of North Carolina now. But you know, one thing I love about her is that she's a walking history book. And I made a laugh. That's good. But you know, the neat thing about this lady is that she's a walking history book. Let me explain to you. One year, she called me. She said, "Gary, I got something very, very special for you." And I said, "Okay, what is it?" He says, "Well, the great Peter Urban, the first 10th-degree black belt in America." That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The very first one. He used to carry around a black suitcase with all his belongings in it, his diary, and all kinds of stuff. She said, "Gary, I have that suitcase, and it's got a bunch of stuff in it. I don't know what's all in it, but I'm going to bring it to the Legends, and we can display it in the museum." So she gets big brownie points for that. I'm talking about my dear friend, Karen Fletcher. Karen, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I made you laugh, didn't I?
Hey, you guys doing? Yeah, you did. Well, I've always loved the history and the stories behind the stories. It's just wonderful. That's part of what we do. If you love the arts, you have to love the history and the war stories and good and bad.
Well, I have a special ladies question tonight. I'm really interested in listening to your answer. Here we go. In the beginning of sport karate in America, ladies were not involved too much, or they weren't not involved at all. How have they evolved to be an important part of sport karate, Karen?
Okay, I am happy to address this because in the beginning, and I will say that's in the 80s when the kickboxing had taken off and Bill Wallace was champion.
Honey, let's go back to the 60s.
Okay, you want to go back to the 60s, yeah? I can do that too.
Women involved at all.
No women, well, the women were there, but we had to...
They were there, yeah, but there was only a handful, like the most Evans and...
Yeah, you quit interrupting her. Let her talk.
When we would have a promotion, I would, if I made my purple belt or whatever, I had to have a belt with a white stripe because I was a female, and I just wasn't considered as good in judo. This was judo, and women weren't even allowed in the Olympics judo until the 80s. They were always second-class citizens, and they kept us around to do the books and to teach the kids classes pretty much. That was it. You asked early the ones. We were stuck with all the kids all the time.
Hey, Karen.
Well, you know, Karen, from now on, Karen, I'm going to interrupt you as much as I can.
Hey, you're always interrupting people, Gary. Okay. Karen, you know what judo is, Karen?
Yes. I sure do. What are you going to say?
You know
what's
what
the
is?
Joke?
It's what they make bagels out of.
I know. And
that's a typical Cleveland joke, Karen. Don't laugh.
No, we used to tell. That was one of the funniest ones.
Well, you know, Karen, you guys have come a long way. And I'm really excited about honoring the women this year and honoring you personally. And, you know, a few years ago when we honored Malia, you were there, and we had over 100 black belt women show up. That was a very powerful event. And,
I want to say one thing. When in the 80s, we had to fight to get high-caliber judges to judge the women. They didn't want to. We would get shodans, and we were all like fifth and sixth dons. We had people who didn't know how to do weapons, judging our weapons division. And I said to one person who was running a really big tournament, I said, is my black belt worth the same as yours? He said, no. And I said, truly, are you really going to look at me and say that you feel that my belt is not equal to yours? He said, it isn't. And that was the general attitude. And he was a high-ranking person. And they just felt that we were a waste of time. We just could not keep up. So it has been a real undercurrent of a prejudice that it's still there. And you will see in a lot of places, but nothing like it used to be.
Yeah. You know, Karen, a lot of guys have real shallow egos, and that they're very fragile as far as their egos. You know, I remember when they were putting women, any women that were in, and put them in men's divisions because they didn't have a special division for women. But the point is, and I hold this, I'll defend this up and down, that women learn martial art quicker than guys. I'll defend
that
until my day I die, but they do. They learn martial art quicker than guys. Guys try to muscle everything, where the girls let the technique work.
That's true.
Well,
listen
to me. Let me. Karen, thank you so much for your opinion. And let me, and please interrupt me while I do this, okay, because I got to introduce AJ. I didn't get to introduce him. And, you know, please, Karen, interrupt me as I do it, please, okay? Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to be funny. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, You know, I don't throw the word master, grandmaster, around too much, but I enjoy saying the word master in front of this man. And, you know, I really love this guy. He's one of my best friends. You know, I really mean that. He's one of the good guys. And he's from Cleveland, Ohio. And he is a master in Tang Soo Do Karate. Part of my co-host, Mr. A.J. Perry.
Thanks for the nice introduction. Did you say co-host or ho-host?
Ho-host, like Dunkin' Donuts.
Which one was it? I feel like a ho-ho now.
It's a ho-ho. Karen, you got anything to say about that? Ho-ho?
I don't know.
Well,
I've heard.
Well, you know, I'm sorry I jumped straight to Karen instead of introducing you, because you are one of the good guys, AJ. And, you know,
thank you.
I got something to say to you. You got something that I found out. You're the only martial artist that's inducted to the Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
That's correct. So
wow.
Quite an honor. And,
that's,
you know, there's joined the lights, Jesse
honor.
Owens in there, Herb Score, many Cleveland Indians players, Cleveland Browns, you know, Bernie Kosar. You know, I felt very honored about that.
That is really cool. Well, listen, let me move right along. I've got a young man that he's a hoot, and I've known him since he was on the orange belt. But you know what? I'm really proud of him. He is the president, the head honcho of the largest sport karate association in Texas. It's been around since 1979 when it first came about. But he is the president. I've known him since he was an orange belt, and I've watched him grow into a leader for karate. I'm talking about Mr. David Chambers. We call him D.E. for short. D.E., are you there?
I am here, sir.
Well,
how you doing, David?
Today has been a fantastic day to
David
too, karate karate smiling on me.
Well, the question is real simple, D. In the early days, of sport karate, there wasn't any women. And it wasn't until the early 60s or late 60s where women really started to be involved. How have they influenced sport karate, you feel, over the years?
I'm gonna duck my head on a few because I'm a chauvinist. So I'm going to duck my head quite a bit on this one. Now, when you say how they influenced the art, you know, one, they were used a lot for the secretary, for the kids, for the drawing card. No, those are factual. Now, were they respected? You know, not as much. And a person going to say, well, male is going to be stronger. And yes, a female does catch on faster in general, but the male going to have more power and more speed, et cetera. So, and those things are customarily factual. Now, again, the point is, how did they influence it? Well, they influenced it because they took the world by surprise, because they did come in and win. You know, now, it didn't happen day one. So it didn't happen day five. But eventually they did come and win. And they won in more in several attributes. They won in school ownership, as in larger schools. You know, that some of them had surprise and you know, had some good programs. They won in competition. You know, they won in relating to students, as in being a good instructor. So they took, you know, they took the world by surprise in several aspects. So I tip my hat to the ladies, even though I am a chauvinist, but I tip my hat to them because they have...
Well, wait a minute. D, what's a chauvinist? What is that?
Uh-oh. What's that?
What's a chauvinist? What is that?
Oh,
I don't know what that means.
That means that means that I do believe, that men should be, in their place and women should be in their place, because, that's just how the foundation is. I do believe that there is certain places.
Oh, I'm gonna get a lot of emails from about you too, probably tomorrow.
I do end it with. I tip my hat to them for the females because of how many strides they have made and own it. They own it. When I say own it, they own their position. So I tip my hat to the ladies.
Well,
Gary,
thank you so much.
The founder of White Crane Kung Fu was a woman.
Yep, that's true.
Being Fang.
That's right. That's right. Good point, AJ. Good point. You're doing a good job though, AJ. Now, I have a very special guest tonight, and you heard him at the beginning of the program. He's the producer of the radio show, Jesse Bowen, and I want to get him on his opinion. Jesse, you're there, sir?
I am.
Okay. Here's a question for you, buddy. In the beginning of sport karate, ladies were really not involved. How they evolved as bullets to be an important part of sport karate?
You know, there's been an evolution. I think that evolution sort of started, when especially, coming in, leaving the 80s, going into the 90s. I know in our organization, we were starting to have more women to come up and be black belt. I actually have more black belt females than I do actual males when I own in my school. My senior female black belt was eighth degree black belt. And I think it was an evolution of thinking. You see, the thinking that they could not do, or the feeling that they weren't strong enough, they weren't tough enough. I think that faded away because more instructors started understanding how to share and how to teach, because it's in the teaching of the combat. And when you begin to train in a manner, then, you start having that. Most of my senior instructors were ladies in my school. I had guys in my school, but my best instructors became ladies. Some of my, some of my toughest fighters, because we did the old school black belt society training of striking each other, punching and conditioning, and you build a mindset. So if you have, I think it was a change that more martial artists began to open up their mind of how to teach ladies and how to expose them to things that made them stronger through the martial arts. I think that was really one of the things. And another thing that happened was that, I was still, I was working for Rockwell International, and I had no intention of opening up a martial arts school. I think I was probably making $6 or $7 an hour if I was making that as a general machinist. And the young lady, Kathy Olesky, ran our Raleigh school, and through her management skills, I remember it was, 1978? They had a $10,000 a month. I'm making $6 an hour. I'm going, let's do the math here. But she was really inspirational for me to make that decision to actually leave my job and actually become a franchise owner in the Karate International. So I think in that 80s, you had a whole change mindset. And again, that's because your students will only be as good as you are. And when you train them to be on that next level, whether it's a guy or a lady, then they will actually become that. So I think that was the big thing, that the teaching of the teachers began to change and didn't have that attitude of, they're not able to do this, they can't do this, they can't do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your opinion so much. But, I've been thinking about it all day. The best lady story I've got, and I want to share it before I bring on my last two, 4+1. When I first came here from Hawaii, I was 14 years old, and I was a black belt. And I was put into a kun. Now, kun is the word for dojo, but it's used for kung fu. And And the man that I was living with, he trained in Northern Shaolin Kung Fu. And I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like Kung Fu. And for 6 months, he wouldn't let me spar. All I could do was self-defense and kata, which I didn't mind. But I wanted to hit somebody. So finally one Thursday night, I said, Sifu, and that's the word we use for sensei, Sifu, please let me spar tonight. And he looked at me, I'll never forget it, he looked at me up and down, and he says, okay, Gary, you can spar tonight. And I said, I was excited because this is before equipment. I started wrapping my hands up and started stretching out. And then I heard him go, Susan! Susan! And I knew who it was. It was one of the top instructors in the quad. And I walked up to him. I said, Sifu, please don't make me fight a woman, a girl, for the first time I fight her in the quad. And he looked at me again, up and down. He said, look, Gary, if you're going to fight, if you're going to spar, and this is going to be your debut, you have to fight Susan first. Well, of course, I was 14 years old and upset. So I thought I was going to hurt her. I thought I was going to really hurt her. So I remember facing off to her. She did a parry. And then, to make a long story short, when I woke up, she hit me with a spinning wheel kick and knocked me out cold. When I got up, I had instant respect for girls, for women, for ladies. I had an instant respect for Kung Fu, and I had an instant respect for the unknown. And come to find out, she'd been training in Kung Fu for almost 10 years, but before she came to San Francisco and trained with my Sifu, she was a black belt in Kyokushin Karate. And so she knew what she was doing, and she put me in my place. And I really am proud, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, because I really have a deep, deep, deep respect for women. And I'm so excited about the fact that I get to honor them on the platform that we have for Crime Museum. And I welcome you to. I want you to come check it out. It's going to be October 6th or 7th this year in Houston, Texas. And we're going to be featuring, roasting, our own Karen Eden Herdman. That's right, our radio show, talk show host, Karen Eden Herdman. And then we're going to be honoring all the ladies, all the wives, the aunts, the grandmothers, the ladies that have supported the guys all these years. So again, check it out.
Gary,
October
6th. I thought you were
AJ.
Honoring Lisa Kozik and Lisa.
Oh,
Kozik.
That's right. I don't want to forget about Lisa. We're going to be honoring Lisa, too. Kozak, which is a really top.
Lisa Kozak
top
and Lisa Dizek.
Competitor. Sir?
Lisa Kozak and Lisa Dizek.
Right. You know,
tremendous competitors.
I've talked to Lisa Dizek, but I haven't got confirmed about Lisa Kozak yet. But Lisa Dizek is definitely going to be there. We're going to honor her, and she'll have her own table. We're going to take care of the women in general. But big kudos to you, AJ, for introducing to me all three women. You remember introducing to me Karen years ago?
I did.
And look what we've done with her. And Lisa, the two Lisas, that also came from you, too. So big kudos to AJ Perry, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
But that's my favorite story of being knocked out by a woman when I was 14 years old. Now, this man, I'm real proud of him. I mean, not only I'm proud of him for what he's done, but who he is and what he's done for sport karate. He is a Joe Louis black belt. He worked at Black Belt Magazine. He's a Marine. Always a Marine. Hurrah. He is also the president of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation. He also happens to be the co-founder with Ron Chappelle and, God rest in peace, Cliff Stewart, they created the BKF back in the 60s, and he's an amazing man, and I'm so proud to call him my Uncle Jerry. I'm talking about Jerry Smith. Jerry, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. I sure am.
Well,
hey, Jerry.
Hello there.
AJ, you say something?
No, I'm just saying hello to Jerry.
Oh, okay, there you go. Being friendly, okay, that's good. Okay, Uncle Jerry, the women
yes, sir.
Weren't really involved back in the days when you first started. Yo, I know, but how do you feel the women have evolved over the years?
Well, let me put it this way. You're right about that. But most of, you know, I had one of the first stable of professional fighters. I like to call them prize fighters because they fight for money. But the one thing I want people to know is that the sport in mixed martial arts has evolved. And the women in that sport seem to have moved a lot faster than, and when I say faster, from back in the day when guys just thought women couldn't do it. Not only can they do it, they can do it at the highest level. Ronda Rousey is a multimillionaire now. What made Ronda Rousey so good? Well, what made Ronda Rousey good was that she had medals. But Jean LaBelle had a lot to do with it. Yes, she did. But and also, Ronda Rousey was an Olympic judoist, so she was practicing it at the highest level. So was her mother, and Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, Chris Cyborg, Graciela Casillas. These women make as much money as men do. Once you get in this sport and you get a name and you're marketable, you can make as much money as the men make. And it's so funny. Professional sports, especially MMA, it's evolving. People can afford trainers. People can afford the best equipment. People can take off 6 months and train for a professional fight. So it has a lot to do with understanding the rules of engagement. And women are at their highest level. I'm not saying that women are going to fight a guy in the ring, it wouldn't be fair. But their level is just as good. They're very, very, very good. Yep. And that's what I have to say about women in mixed martial arts.
Well, you were in your early years, you were friends with Malia, weren't you, Malia DeCastis?
Yes, of course.
She was incredible, wasn't she? She was good as a fighter.
She was incredible and beautiful.
How about Lily? Yukitas. Remember her? She was tough.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Fought her husband many times.
Blinky, yeah.
Blinky Rodriguez.
I first moved to America in 1969. I met her at Takamoto's dojo. But yeah, she was tough. She was tough. Well, thank you so much for your opinion and talking about Rhonda and some of the other women. I think that's very important.
Great word, Jesse.
Do what?
Great thoughts.
Absolutely. Okay, moving right along, a protege of the great Jerry Smith. He also trained with some really true Japanese masters. He is a 10th-degree black belt and the web designer of the Sport Karate Museum webpage, which is improving daily. And we got some special announcements tonight. But I really want to hear his opinion of the question tonight. I'm talking about Professor Tom Selman. Tom, are you there, buddy?
I sure am, Gary. I sure am. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, sir. Well, hey, Tom, let's answer the question first. Hey. And then I got a couple questions about the webpage. And the question is, women weren't really involved in the early days of sport karate, but they have been and they are now very deeply. How do you feel they've influenced or involved into sport karate, Tom?
Well, I've got kind of a different perspective on that. From my memory, in the early 60s, women were very involved in sport karate to a degree. They were responsible for cleaning, repairing, ironing, sewing on the growing variety of patches of the gis that were being worn in the dojos and the organizations.
Amen,
that they grew
amen, amen.
Absolutely. Women were the primary support apparatus for the men and their training during the one job family system that was there at the time. As time went on, the ladies heard the stories, held the gear for their spouses, and became familiar with the practice. We've got to remember that, you know, women have been warriors for a millennium. In the Orient, West Africa, the Polynesian Islanders, the Celtic nations. As kids were eventually admitted to the dojo family, the karate widow became the karate mom. Many of the moms got the bug and joined to support the family and their training. They went there to learn self-defense, and they went back to the workforce and needed to protect themselves when they were out and about doing their jobs and supporting the family. In time, the somewhat traditional family or female support roles they had played were laid aside, and they chose to train for their own interests and therefore were recognized as fellow dojo mates and stood out on the mat. Most had to buck the old boys' structure, stronger in spirit, endure in practice, and suffer inequality in the practices of that day. But they persevered. They earned their place in the art that they came of. And in the beginning, they often found themselves competing against men due to lack of women competitors during kata and sparring competition. From these growing ranks, the role model emerged. Champions gained respect, and their exploits expanded their renown. Pioneers sprang up in an action movie role capacity, full contact bouts like Gary was talking about, and starring movie roles in action movies, and their champions stood tall. Let us not forget the valiant American women who stepped into the breach during World War II and served this proud country, manning the factories, building the munitions and the weapons of freedom for our servicemen and women abroad in harm's way. Their spirit, courage, and dedication lives on in the female martial arts warriors of today. Hence the competing or the coming dedication next year by the Sport Karate Museum. Let us salute them, one and all. Now,
good.
I have a story. We're sharing stories.
Go ahead.
Now, you and Sensei Jerry met my beautiful wife in Vegas.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So she's very beautiful.
He's been training for over 30 years. And we got married on Saturday, and the very next Sunday, because all my teacher, Sensei White, who, of course, Jerry knows very well and was a good friend with back in the day, was overseeing the testing that day, and Anna tested for Shodan right after we got married, I mean, that very next day. So she's fighting. And she got put up against one of my guys who is a sun dancer. And if you know what that is, that's the guys that get their chest pierced for 4 days running during a Lakota Sioux, special ceremony. This guy was fierce. He fought her. He swept her. He stuck his face down and yelled at her, "Now what are you going to do?" And that beautiful little demure woman punched him right in the mouth, lacerated his mouth until it was bleeding all over the place.
I love it. I love it.
So,
so cool.
You know, my mom was a little 5'3" Irish American woman. I'm 6'5" and 230 pounds, and to this day, I remember her as being 10 feet tall. So, you know, whatever happened back in those days and however it worked out, the women have always been warriors. They've always stood their ground. They've always done the things that needed to be done. And they broke through eventually the things that kept them from being able to conquer the karate too. And now today they are incredible and have been for a long time. So that's what I have to say.
Well, I want to add something to that. I remember back in the early days when, you know, the women weren't separated from the men in kata, and I took a lot of third places, a lot of second places too, to some incredible women. And it really,
yes,
really, it made me not so be so humble, but it made me realize that they needed their own division. But nonetheless, these women that would beat me or, you know, win, I was proud. I would always go up to them and congratulate them and even ask some of them to help me. And I believe that it's not about being a woman or being a man. It's about who you train with and learn from and learn to show respect and what it's all about within the martial arts. So, Tom, thank you so much for your opinion. But I want to ask you a question now. You've done something to the webpage. You've added a special page. Let's talk about Bear's Turner a little bit. Talk about what you've got for the webpage of the museum.
The new page that's now on the website is the button for it is on the bottom of the marquee to the right-hand side in the very bottom center. And it is a coming events and various different announcements. And so we're going to be special events that are coming up, like the tough competition of Bears this weekend. We're going to be putting up the information shortly about the upcoming film festival that's going to be done and others. And we're going to try and make sure that people who want to know what's going on, people that are afraid to talk about it on the air, will be able to just go right to our website, go to that space, and they'll be able to scroll down and punch the button and go directly to the website so they can register.
Wow.
Whatever it is they want to do. So it's so much easier than having to try and remember and run off something. They can just come to our website, and we're going to make it very, very user-friendly. And that's what's we're going to be improving things. And I'm going to be working in between now and the first of the year to upgrade the current website to be able to do things like be able to include videos and other things that up to this point I've not been able to do. So I'm looking forward to a really exciting new year with the website and what we can do and how we can really, really put our best foot forward and make sure that everybody that we represent is fully represented.
Well, thank you, Tom. I mean, so much. And speaking about our webpage, we also advertised someone very special. He's been on the air with us for a year. Reggie, are you there? Reggie Lee?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How you doing?
Okay, let me introduce you. For a year now, we've been advertising virtual reality. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's it's a technology where you go inside the program by wearing a headset, particularly the Oculus Quest 2 or the Oculus Quest Pro. Now, this amazing, and it really is, this amazing program called SetVR.app. You can actually see what Dr. Reginald Lee, who's going to be introduced here in just a minute, to talk about, and he'll tell you exactly how you can experiment by seeing the actual demonstration by going to Google and typing in SETVR.app. And that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, stands for Self-Defense enhanced training in virtual reality application. Now, without further ado, let me introduce to you ninth degree black belt, a real doctor. He works in a hospital. He saves lives. He's an amazing man. He's the inventor of the co-inventor of SetVR.app, Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie, are you there, sir?
Yes, good evening, sir. Thank you for the nice introduction.
Hey, Dr. Lee.
Yes, how you doing, AJ? How you doing?
Good.
We at SetVR continue to be super excited about our program, Self-Defense Enhancement Training in Virtual Reality, as a platform whereby you can continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact, and you can take it anywhere you travel, even during a pandemic, to continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. The program is fun, educational, and progressive. We've already have in place the core history journals in our history portal and plan to add additional history journals in the future. We are planning to have multiplayer by the end of this year. But
that
we are
really
planning
cool.
to have this program whereby you are not actually looking outside, looking into our program. With SetVR, you'll be immersed into our program. It's a simulation program whereby a hologram will attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks. We've chosen a dark alleyway whereby bad things usually happen. The hologram will get into your personal space prior to the sudden random attack to create an adrenaline surge, a flight or fright mode, a moment of a pause or a fright effect whereby one would possibly lose at least 50% of what they've been taught in self-defense, and whereby utilizing muscle memory and or reflex response would be your only recourse to engage and to neutralize. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram, as I mentioned, will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. Improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements to avoid and place you in an opportunity's position of an advantage to neutralization. To improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy, and develop a muscle memory and subsequently the goal of developing a reflex response to a threat and to neutralize without hesitation as if you were placed your hand on a hot stove or I tapped your knee with a knee hammer in my office to create a reflex response. This is a platform whereby you can practice and utilize what you've been taught and techniques and forms and katas in your schools in an application against a stimulus, against a random and sudden attack to practice anywhere, anytime, when you want. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercises, and we'll also present you with your own yoga instructor. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you to practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future classroom platform for his vision of the history portal, for which we have introduced Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior in SetVR. But before meeting the wisdom warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal. With that being said, Professor Garley, some few words about your vision of your history museum in our history portal program in SetVR.
Well, it's very exciting being a part of this program. And let me introduce to you, we're going to have a core group, a beginning group of history generals to be introduced to the winners or the people that get the hologram or get through the hologram. And let me introduce to them. In not any particular order. Judge Roy Kerman, the man that brought the two-point kick rule to the world. Mr. George Minshew, the first man to give a gold ring in open competition to Karate Olympics. Chris Minshew, NBA world champion and amazing lady of the martial arts. And Mr. Mike Dillard, the owner of Century Martial Arts Supply, the largest martial arts supply company in the world, and also host of the Super Show in Las Vegas, and the owner of Black Belt Magazine. These four people will be the core group. And then, accordingly within time, we'll be adding all the history generals so that as you defeat the hologram and set VR.app, you'll be able to go into the history and learn about how sport karate was invented in America. And that's exciting, Dr. Lee. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of this. I get excited every day when I put my Oculus Quest Pro and do Set VR, just knowing that you guys believe in the Sport Karate Museum and all the icons, and especially the history generals. So thank you, Randy. Thank you, sir. I really mean that.
Oh, yeah. That Set VR is great. I have a really good version of it, the headset, and it's really funny. Mona loves using that thing. You know, she'll go in my office area, which is kind of an open area, and I'll just see her kind of floating around in the inside the office using it. You know, she loves it.
Yeah. Thank you, AJ, for your little input. It means a lot. So, Dr. Lee, you take care, and I got one more story I want to talk about, ladies. For most of you know, this amazing woman named Linda Dinley. She's from Houston, Texas. What people don't realize is that back in 1980, I had the first fight club in Houston, Texas. And Linda Dinley, the great Linda Dinley, would drive 40 miles one way to come to the fight club. Well, one night she came in, and this man kind of disrespected her. And I saw this lady, and she is a lady, even though she's one of the toughest people I've ever watched, man or woman. I saw her beat up this guy. When she was done with him, I knew he had a cracked rib. His ear was bleeding. His nose was bleeding. And what the funny part is, ladies and gentlemen, as he was leaving, Linda, God bless her, she says, Gary, he didn't sign a waiver. And I stopped him on the way out. I said, sir, Miss Dinley reminded me, you didn't sign a waiver for being in the karate fight club. Would you please sign the waiver? And he signed the waiver. I threw him a towel. He wiped his face. I never saw him again. And I really saw a woman beat up a man. That was a crazy, crazy night. But, man, we had some good times back then. But God bless the women. I mean that from the heart. Now, AJ, have you ever come across any tough women?
Several. I'll tell you, right now, she's still competing. Named Elizabeth Lindsay. She's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A real great technician, but a real tough girl. And there was another one, Robin Bear, who was from Pittsburgh. And she was not only a great forms champion, but she was a tough cookie. She'd knock a guy out in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I watched those two women
two
for years.
That you introduced to me to add to Karen's event this year, Lisa.
Lisa Dijak. She did some MMA fighting. She was a very reputable fighter.
Yes. And the other one, Lisa Kozak.
Lisa Kozak, you know, she was Black Belt Magazine Competitor of the Year back in, I think it was 87. You know, she's a tough fighter. She's Tang Sido Mudaquan. She's under Grandmaster Juan Ki's son, Grandmaster Yong Chulan. And
well,
it's just another tough fighter.
We're excited about honoring all the women, and especially those three, Lisa Dijak, Lisa Kozak, and, of course, Karen Eden Herdman. And for more information, please call 713-483-0476. And don't forget to go check out the new webpage, www.sportkarate.com. Museum Archives, ARCHIVES.com, and look at all the neat pictures, announcements, and stories that Professor Todd Sutton is adding on a day-to-day basis. And we want to make a big shout-out, okay, to Dean. We hope he feels better, and we really, really missed him, you know, tonight. And, of course, happy birthday to Stacey Moore, our four-plus-one host, James Moore, and he's with his lovely wife tonight celebrating her birthday. And, ladies and gentlemen, we're going on 10 years with the amazing program that you've allowed us to do, Parts Unknown. And we're going to have some incredible interviews and special announcements in the upcoming few weeks going into the holidays. And, you know, going to the holidays, we wish you safe encounters. And when you're traveling or when you're staying at home, the Sport Crime Museum wishes you a safe and fun holiday season. And we look forward to closing our year out with some more incredible interviews in the upcoming year, 2023, with some upcoming events that literally are going to knock your socks off. So on behalf of my dear friend and co-host, A.J. Perry and Dean Pyle, the 4+1, and our producer, Jesse Bowen, we love to say this to you, and we mean it from the heart every week. Mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night.